good morning. It's Monday. It's the 13th of May, and we already, already halfway through May. And it's definitely getting cooler, although this weekend was nice and warm.
It was lovely.
Yeah, it was really good. I was
summer
sitting outside going, hang on, am I hot or am I cold?
Yeah.
You know?
We spent like a Mother's
like
Day in the sun.
Like a menopausal woman. All right. So speaking of that, so listen, Dr. Hanan and Leanne just blew my mind wide open this morning with this baby reindeer thing. I saw some comments on it at the beginning of the show, and I was like, what are these people talking about? Because, you know, it takes me a while sometimes to figure out what the hell's going on. I'm not that pop culture oriented. And Leanne was telling me about this woman, Fiona Walker or something.
Yes.
She is the woman in Baby Reindeer. So it's a real person. It's a real story. And you were saying to me, so apparently for those of us who didn't know any of this, there's this guy, he's a stand-up comedian and
Richard
an actor.
Gadd.
And he was followed by and stalked by this real-life woman who's like a complete psychopath. Made the movie out of it. But apparently she used to follow him everywhere. He worked at a bar.
Yeah, she met him in a bar where he was a barman, and then proceeded to come in every single day. She was lying right from the beginning about her job and her qualifications.
She was just
she had stalked other people previously.
Oh, okay. So this is her modus operandi.
Yeah, and in fact, she'd been to prison, I believe. She was sentenced to some time in jail for stalking another person. I think that they were in the legal world, like a judge or something. She herself has studied some kind of law. But she even verbally abused this person's disabled child. I think the child was deaf and she was...
Good heavens. So she's a total rampaging lunatic.
Absolutely.
And okay,
as
wow.
I say now...
blown away.
She was found out by internet sleuths, the real person, because in the movie she's Martha, played by Jessica Gunning.
Right.
But the actual person has now been found. And she herself has come on to Piers Morgan's show. She wanted to. She
of
said.
Of course. People like that can't help themselves. They want the attention, right?
That's the thing, you see.
So
and she's still
lying. She said to Piers Morgan she'd only sent 8 emails. Meanwhile, it's like 40,000 of them.
10,000 emails. No, those are just the emails. I mean, eventually she found out his phone number. She sat in a bus stop opposite his home where he could see her through the window. For weeks, you know, day and night through the cold.
And she was telling people she was in a relationship with this guy.
Yes. So she would go to his comedy shows and stand up and shout out, he's my boyfriend.
Wow.
He eventually thought in a bit of a reverse psychology way, what if I play along with her? Because, you know, he was at his absolute wit's end.
Yeah.
And he made a joke in the bar about hanging her curtains, going over to her house to hang her curtains, which is like a euphemism. And she says, even on Piers Morgan's show, he offered to have sex with me. And now she's harping on just that one thing all the time, where he was just trying to use a bit of reverse psychology to bring her straight.
Oh, but she's obviously fixated on that as well.
Yes.
So she's got one of these very obsessive personalities.
But, you know, she says, I've got a photographic memory. And then Piers Morgan says to her, what were your grades? And she says, I don't remember.
Yeah.
She's just...
listen, there are some bad people in the world. But the reason I asked, the whole reason this came up, is I had to find out from Dr. Hanan if there are people who are just genuinely bad. Bad to the bone, do-do-do-do-do.
You know, they're just
bad. Like, they're just really bad people. Because I tend to think everybody, if you get to know them, has a good side. Even really awful, genocidal lunatics. They've got to have some aspect. You know, even Hitler liked his dog Blondie, you know, famously. But I'm starting to think there might actually be truly evil people who just do not have redeeming qualities.
Of course they are.
And this woman is an example. That's why she came up. Dr. Hanan brought her up. I don't understand how people do not respond to social cues at all. You can see it on the internet as well. Like, if you are this woman in this baby reindeer and you're obsessed with this guy and he's just not giving you the feedback that you want. But you carry on as if nothing he's said or done matters. Your fantasy is prime. It's a weird thing, right? It's like whatever you've built up in your head, whatever you feel to be true, your truth, that's all that matters. The rest is completely nonsense to you.
Like I said, eventually he decides, let me pretend that I am her boyfriend. And he says, okay, I am your boyfriend, but now I'm breaking up with you.
Oh.
That's how desperate he was at that stage.
And what happens then?
Well, she was devastated. That's when she started sitting outside the bus stop. Sure, it's heavy, man. But then when you realize that it actually happened to the actor himself, Richard Gadd, that he's playing himself and his life.
Sure. What a life.
Yeah. But listen, she now wants to sue Netflix. She wants to sue him. She's gathering all this evidence. And like
so
Piers
she's just
Morgan,
a dangerous, horrible person.
Piers Morgan said to her, you know that if this investigation starts, they're going to find your phones and your computers and all of that stuff exists. They'll be able to prove that. She says, no, it's fine. They can look. He says, what technology do you use? She goes, oh, well, I've got a phone now, but it's broken. It broke last week. And she's got no grasp on reality at all.
But only in 2024 could someone like this exist. Because in any other time and place, they would have just been burnt as a witch or something, right? I mean, they would have said that crazy old woman, like, just burn her in her house.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they did put her in jail.
Did she? So she did go to jail?
For a previous stalking.
Wow. And she'll probably just have another one after this, right?
Yeah.
What is the thrill? Like, imagine stalking somebody, but you never actually get them. Like, what's the thrill? I don't understand. You don't actually ever get to be with them. They don't actually ever love you. What's the fun? Like, when do you feel like, what are the victory conditions for this situation?
I don't know. It's
bizarre,
it's hopeless.
Right?
It's absolutely hopeless.
Unbelievable. Perception becomes reality. It's why crazy people don't know they're crazy. Well, the same goes for so many people who have a virtual version of themselves and a real version of themselves. Mm. So in some small way, there are a lot of people who have the same psychosis because they are the people who pretend they are something online that they aren't in real life. Again, fantasy trumps reality in these people's vision. You got to keep it in balance. If reality is above fantasy, you're doing well. The minute fantasy becomes more important than reality, you've lost it. I think that's what it is. Crazy, right? There are no court records of a conviction or even a restraining order. She did go to jail. Episode 4, is it? How many episodes of this thing are there?
A lot.
Really? Mm. So I have to watch all of them? Thought it was one.
Oh, you'll love it.
I don't know, hey? It's always the fat people, hey, says Carl. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not only that. There's a massive age gap between them. He's, I think, at the time in his 20s and she's in her 40s.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's also
another part to think about, yeah.
What do you do with people like this? Do you put them in jail? Because I don't know if that helps.
Because then they're stuck in their thoughts. She doesn't need jail. She needs serious medication.
Yeah.
And treatment.
Damn. What a life. And this poor guy, he was just, everywhere he went, she'd be there.
And it traumatized him. It really, you know.
That's where you start thinking, I maybe we should shoot her.
No, I don't know. Goodness me. It's one of those situations where you watch it because you think surely eventually she'll realize.
Doesn't.
But she does. She still doesn't. There she is on Piers Morgan now.
Yeah, totally just deluded.
Delulu.
It's a proper, like, mental health problem.
Yeah.
Bizarre. I wonder how many of those people there are in the world. Probably a lot more than we'd be comfortable with. So this is interesting. Apparently, you know Brian Cox from Succession. He's Logan.
Yes. The head honcho.
The head honcho, the guy who makes all the millions, billions. Brian Cox said that being part of one of TV's biggest hit shows has taken away a cherished part of his life. He says he is grateful for the recognition. He's even won awards for it. But he says it's come at a terrible price. One thing I've lost is my anonymity, he says, which I prized. It's a double-edged sword, the success. I'm not going to knock it, he says, but at the same time, everybody knows who I am now. He's 77 years old and he doesn't want this.
So he did a show shortly after Succession, a reality, like a documentary.
Yeah.
Which, you know, after he was exposed to the lives of the very, very super rich for his role and during the filming, he did this show where he was very much himself, and it was based on, you know, the poorest of the poor compared to the very rich people, how they live. And he grew up in absolute poverty.
Oh, right.
You know, he grew up, they lived on top of the shop that the family worked in type thing. He came from a family of a lot of children. I think he's Irish. And, you know, they had barely enough food to go around. And he's a very, very humble person. So I don't see that as surprising at all, that he just wants to live his life.
Well, he likes the anonymity, but you can't put that genie back in the bottle.
No. Right?
Like, once people know who you are, it's going to happen. People are going to follow you around. They're going to recognize you, take pictures with you.
But you are very down to earth.
I've always believed, and we've discussed this before, I think, that if you think that being famous is the most important thing right now, there's going to be a time somewhere in the future where anonymity is going to be more valuable than fame. It's probably already happening. If you think about people, really, really rich people, I know somebody who is, he's obsessed with scrubbing himself from the internet. Doesn't have anything to hide. He's not like a, you know, a serial killer or anything, but he hates being on the internet. He doesn't want any pictures of himself. He doesn't want any articles written about him. He's absolutely convinced that the best possible place for him to be is anonymous.
Yeah,
it's hard to do.
It's very difficult.
You need a lot of money and you need to employ a team of people to do it. But that is the new prize. Like, that's the gold that the really wealthy of the world will want at some point, because they don't want people to know anything about them.
Mm.
They're like, just stay away from my life, my house, my family, my business. I don't want anyone to know who I am.
Yeah, you're right. You'd need a team and a lot of money to do that, because how do you just survive without having your credit card information out there? Or you can't live. How do you get a driver's license? You know, you've got to be like super wealthy.
You know, it's also, I think maybe that he pays Google or whatever it is, almost like a fee every month to just keep his results from not coming up. It's weird, right?
Mm. No, I know people like that. You know, I know people who, for instance, have deleted WhatsApp because they realized how much time it was taking and eating into their lives. I know somebody who wants to stop emails completely. They've actually bought like a scroll with ink.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to write letters and no longer do emails. There are people who have just been like pushed to the limit.
And we thought CDs in your car was a like retro idea. Imagine pulling out a scroll and writing with an inkwell and a quill pen
every time you wanted to talk to someone.
It's ridiculous. Somebody here, Mapelo, says that woman from Baby Reindeer needs a shambok. Apparently, Proper Gender says he had a trans girlfriend as well.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, it is true.
Holy shit, all right.
And I watched an interview with the actress who plays the role of the transgender person, and they themselves, this actress, is transgender.
Well, that these days in Hollywood, that's what you have to do, right? You're not allowed to play someone unless you are that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I thought that the whole point of acting was that you would pretend, but clearly not.
And what happens is that the stalker climbs into her as well and actually gets physically abusive with her.
Jesus.
And in one scene in particular, it was the hardest to watch. There's this massive physical altercation in the bar, and she ends up throwing this transgender woman down to the floor and breaking glass, and then just letting out a flurry of horrible things about her. And I watched this actress being interviewed afterwards and how she had to get into the role. And that day, her and the woman who plays the baby reindeer lady.
Why is it called Baby Reindeer, by the way?
I'll tell you in a second. They hadn't spoken to each other for 2 days because they had to be in the role. And eventually the actress who's the baby reindeer lady comes up and just says to her, "I'm sorry," because that's how intense the filming was. So the baby reindeer thing is actually, I can't tell you because I'll be giving away a really important part. She calls him baby reindeer, okay? But you only find out towards the end when he starts going through hundreds of hours of voice messages himself. Oof. Because he wants to actually try and get into her head and understand her. So he becomes a complete recluse and listens to her voice messages for hours and hours and hours and builds almost like a criminologist would build a wall with wool and, you know, photographs and trying to get into her
brain.
Why didn't
he just move?
And then she had him on technology.
Just move. Just and then block her.
She eventually explains in one of the voicemails that he hadn't listened to for years why she calls him baby reindeer, and it's incredibly sad.
Okay. Were you sad for her?
Yeah, you feel sorry for her.
I don't think that'll happen when I watch it, but okay.
And you see how he feels sorry for her, and it's almost as if at that stage he finally understands a little bit of why she is like she is.
Oh, okay, well, now I'm going to watch this stupid show. And you say there are a lot of episodes?
Yeah, I can't really remember. I mean,
damn it.
I don't have a photographic memory. Not like her.
I'd be one of Garrett's crazy followers if I wasn't so busy. Very unfortunate, says Hameen. Well, I'm delighted you're busy. You don't have to harass and irritate me. Listen, a stalker wouldn't last very long with me. I would shoot at them. I would. I'd actually pull out a gun.
Oh, my gosh.
Wouldn't take me long. Richard Gabb also had a lot of mental issues himself. Is that true? The actor? He must be. He's an actor. Actors are all lunatics.
And stand-up comedian. I mean, okay. I can't speak for that. I don't know. But he was going through this trauma, anyone would.
Well, Malusi says, you forgot a big part of the story. He was molested by someone in the industry.
Yes, that's right. I didn't want to give that away as
actors.
Well.
Actors. Actors. Constantly. There's just always molestation with actors. It's just unbelievable.
It's only 7 episodes.
Oh, okay, 7 episodes. I can manage 7 episodes.
But they're intense.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. All right, so now we all have homework. For those people who haven't seen Baby Reindeer yet, apparently we all have to be on this page so we can discuss it on Wednesday.
You know, I watched it with zero expectations. I just saw it on Netflix
I'm so pleased you saw it because otherwise we wouldn't know what was going on this morning.
So I don't
know.
You've
just filled us all in. You've just given us a bird's eye view of the whole thing. It's great.
I don't know if I had this huge build-up if I would have found it that amazing. Because I just thought, what is this? Click play.
Huge Erection says, enjoy watching that show. I couldn't watch Baby Reindeer till the end. It's horrible.
Yeah, you see, there are going to be people who now think, what's all the hype about?
So someone said at the beginning of the show, I have to watch all the episodes and then I must watch the Piers Morgan interview.
Yeah, so that's the correct order.
That's the order.
Yes.
So now, not only do I have to watch these 7 episodes of the show, which is going to take up time, but okay, now I also have to watch the Piers Morgan interview. And in that order, very, very strict rules.
Mm.
Okay. All right, good. Let's see what else we got here quickly before we get to our guest for this morning. I see you've got a pioneering identical twin study that reveals whether a vegan or meat-based diet is healthier. Aha. Okay. I'm really happy to hear about this. So apparently it took 2 twins. One of them, they gave a normal meat and veg diet.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, they only gave a vegan diet to. And then they measured their health after a while to determine who was healthier. I think I can predict these results. Am I full of hubris?
You have to guess first.
I'm going to say the person with a balanced diet with meat and vegetables probably healthier.
Okay, so it's actually 3 sets.
We're omnivorous. Why do you think you have canine teeth?
There are 3 sets of twins, actually.
How did they find so many?
I thought that it was going to be this thing where for their entire lives, this person had been vegan and the other was eating meat.
Okay.
But disappointingly not. It was only a 2-month study.
Okay.
So
it's fine. It'll give you some insight.
Because, I mean, that sort of drastic change in your diet affects you immediately. And they were focusing particularly on cardiovascular well-being.
Okay.
And as we know, that's the biggest issue. Someone who's vegan will say to you, you're eating too many things that could be damaging to your heart by eating meat.
Or your arteries or whatever, yeah.
Exactly. So they gave them, they sent them meals, prepared meals, which they had to stick to the diet. And apparently some of the ones that went on to the vegan diet have carried on with the vegan lifestyle.
Oh, really?
But it turns out...
Yep.
Vegan is the better one of the two
bullshit.
For your cardiovascular health.
Bullshit, I don't buy it. What nonsense. Carl says, I bet the vegans are homosexual now and have blue hair.
So both diets, very carefully constructed to be health conscious. Because I thought, they probably just gave them lots of fat in the meaty diets, you know, a bit of chuck or whatever. But no, they were both health conscious.
I don't believe it. Who sponsored this research?
Whole plant-based foods. They both had vegetables, legumes. Uh-huh. I've heard some Americans saying legumes.
Legumes.
Fruits and whole grains. They both avoided sugars and refined starches. So it was a fair study. But yes, that's what's happened. It was published in JAMA Open Network, showing that a vegan diet can significantly improve cardiovascular health in as little as 8 weeks.
And... can we identify from that picture which ones are the vegan ones now? Which
I was
ones
trying
are the
to look
carnivores?
Because the vegans lost weight as well during the and they had the same amounts of calories.
I'm guessing, sure, this is difficult. So in the middle two, I think the vegan one is the one on the right.
I also tried to see that. I think she looks
slimmer. I think
slimmer.
On the right-hand side, the two wearing the white... I'm going to say that the vegan one's the one on the left.
No, that's just a pure guess, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then with the two with the blue and the red, I think they both actually cheated and ate meat.
One person did cheat. Apparently, there was one person who couldn't stick to her vegan diet, but I think she was thrown out of the study.
Yeah. Yeah, well, aren't these the same kind of studies that proved that the COVID vaccines were safe and effective?
Aren't these the kind of studies that proved that having a glass of wine a day was good or that coffee was good?
We almost got into a family feud yesterday with these vaccines because, my sister-in-law and my sister were like, my sister's not into the vaxes at all. My sister-in-law was like, what the hell?
People
What's
are
the
still
difference?
Sensitive about it.
Yeah. Got into a fight. We had to like call it. Well, it didn't get into a fight, but I could tell there was something brewing. I was like, let's not talk about this anymore. And we moved on.
I have people very close to me whose health has suffered incredibly since having the vaccine.
They pulled the AstraZeneca one last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But late for that now.
No, they said, we've got to go back to the...
I can't even remember which one I had. What was the Pfizer or whatever?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I couldn't
remember
spell Pfizer on my form. My brother was canning himself.
What did you write?
I wrote like P-F-Z.
That's almost it.
P... I don't know. No, I did it completely wrong.
Okay. All right. Anyway, I don't normally comment, but that whole Netflix Twins series about the vegans and meat eaters was debunked, says Guillermo.
Oh, was it actually a series?
Apparently debunked, Leanne.
This article I'm reading doesn't say it was a series.
Lee says the majority of vegans aren't that healthy, though. What most of they consume is processed. Oreos are vegan, for heaven's sake.
No, that's true.
Okay. Just, you know what? Don't worry about what other people eat. Eat whatever you want.
Exactly.
God damn it.
100%.
Yeah. Don't attack the vegans. They're already weak enough.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous.
They have no protein. Help them.
They probably have more protein.
Help them up the stairs. Help them.
They probably have more protein in their systems
Bullshit.
Than you do.
I don't believe your survey. I don't believe your research. I don't believe this Netflix series.
And I'm not vegan, so I don't know why you're cross with me.
Because you've always stood up for the vegans. I know you.
I actually enjoy vegan.
You always
I enjoy
stood up for them.
Legumes.
Legumes. All right, let's bring our guest in here and let's get to know him. This is a fascinating story. I think you're going to enjoy it because Timothy Kisveter, who's our guest, is a sex therapist and a stand-up comedian, started his career in the church as a youth pastor, so he's got an interesting story to tell us. And this morning, he's going to tell us all about what he did to obtain his master's degree in sexology, Leanne.
Wit woo.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got a wife who's been married for 20 years. They've got 5 daughters. They homeschool them, which sounds a hell of a lot better than sending them to government schools. So I'm in favor of that. Nice to meet you, man.
Lucky to be here.
How are you?
Fantastic, thanks.
Very good. So you've got this Facebook page, which has done really well. It's got like 1.5 million interactions a month. Makes it one of the largest and most active pages on Facebook. And I think this is amazing because, first of all, you're combining a whole bunch of things that don't normally go together.
Yeah.
You know, being a pastor, stand-up comedian, sexologist, I'm already like, well, which is it? You can't be all three, but you are. And then you've got this page, which apparently people love. And you want to strip taboos, remove shame, restore dignity. Tell us about yourself. How did this all start?
Well, it started with me growing up in my dad's shadow. My dad's a famous pastor. And me being then a pastor's son, the cliche goes, you have to be the naughtiest.
Yeah.
So basically, I realized that the marriages are failing in the church.
Yeah.
And the number one reason for that is sex. Too little sex in the marriage and too much sex outside the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get a balance between the two. And but as a pastor...
What?
I just... That was just a joke to see if you were aware.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, I'm Leanne's going like, to this church.
I need more sex outside of marriage, but not so much inside of marriage. No, you got it wrong.
Well, I'll explain that because all my jokes has a sexology backing. So when I say sex outside the marriage, I don't mean having affairs. I'm meaning having sex with yourself.
Okay.
Oh, as in masturbation.
Yes.
Okay. Well, okay. I've always believed that if more people did that, there'd be less violence.
Mm.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing we could do.
If you drain the testes, the testosterone drops and the violence.
Yes, there we go. People become much less dangerous.
Yeah. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. A wank a day keeps the affair away.
See, Leanne? There we go. Now you know.
Interesting.
Right. Okay, so let's just start off with your story. So you're the pastor's son.
Yes. So then I studied theology, became a youth pastor myself.
Was there pressure on you to become a pastor because your dad was a pastor?
No, I loved it. And that's really? All that I knew.
All right.
And I was good at that.
Okay, cool.
And I enjoyed it and did it for a couple of years. But then I realized the area that needs ministry the most is the area that as a pastor, I didn't have any education in, because sex is not a taught subject in seminary school.
No, in fact,
even though they call it seminary school.
Yeah, I know, but what?
Yeah, but that's not the reason why.
No, but there's a huge taboo around this stuff. People aren't, you mustn't talk about it.
Yeah.
It's bad. Everything to do with sex is evil. Yeah. It's sin. It's
the perception is the more spiritual you become,
the less sexual you have to be. Correct. Do you agree with that?
No, that's absolute nonsense. You have to live as a balanced human being.
Right.
And as being a human, you are sexual. And if you look at all the negative press that comes out of the church when there's molestation and rape and sex scandals, it is in an environment where sexuality is suppressed. Mm. I always explain it like a water balloon. If you're going to suppress on the one side, it is going to pop on the other side.
Yeah.
And when it breaks, you are no longer in control of it. And that is what happens when sex scandals comes out of the church.
Well, I mean, I'm so glad that you're talking about this and that you're doing your bit to help people along, because I know that Afrikaans people in particular, and I mean, I've got Afrikaans family and I don't have any axe to grind. I love Afrikaans people, right? I grew up in Pretoria.
Mm.
So it's some of the nicest people in the whole world.
Kan die boere wors gordyn.
So they do have this unhealthy relationship with sex. It's like you're made to feel shame and guilt as part of like Calvinist, you know, kind of Christianity.
To be a true Christian, you have to have shame about
and
your
suffering and pain and lading and all of this stuff. And as a result, they have these very unhealthy ideas about what is appropriate and inappropriate. Mm. And when no one's looking, they sometimes are the ones who are doing the really bad things.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It goes to the extreme, right? It's that being brought up, as they say, verkrampt.
Yes.
And then, you know, in my own experience, with the swinging community, it's mainly Pretoria, Afrikaans, white. And it's almost as if they've gone to the extreme.
And that's why there's a verse in the Bible that says, avoid all extremes.
Right.
And that's even the spiritual extremes.
Right.
We are humans. We are balanced. We are holistic. And if we do not live like that and even eat like that, there will be side effects to that.
So Azalea says here, if religious institutions stopped shaming people about self-pleasure, our society would not be so messed up.
Amen.
Okay, so
that's the topic. I've been doing this now for 14 years. That's the number one topic that I've got the most hate mail and...
What topic?
Masturbation.
Really? People are uptight about that.
And I cannot understand it because there's no single verse in the Bible that refers or even mentions masturbation.
What about that stuff about the guy who spilled his seed and was punished by God?
Genesis 32, I think. It's coitus interruptus. So he pulled out.
Oh, he pulled out and God was like, no, you're not going to do that.
Because it was a financial sin that he did there.
Oh.
His brother died.
Okay.
And according to the Jewish law, then you have a woman can't sustain herself. So she gets passed on to the brother.
Oh, well, that's perfectly okay.
But
always check out the brother before you marry him.
But okay, the sons or the children of that woman then was still considered to be the brother's heirs.
Yeah.
That's why this brother didn't want to impregnate his new wife, his ex-brother's
wife. First of all, it's his brother's wife. I mean, for starters, I love the way that's not a problem, by the way. I love the way that it's all about, like, spilling the seed and not taking responsibility financially for the wife.
That's,
but it's about, like, you got to marry the wife's, the brother's wife?
Yeah.
It's insane.
But that's where the sin came in, and why it invoked God's wrath, because the brother didn't take responsibility in caring for her. He was using her selfish for his own gains.
Talk about selfish. I just want to bring this up.
So yes, but that is not masturbation.
No, but I mean, so what kind of self-obsessed and self-absorbed people are so busy worrying about, you really think God's interested in people playing with themselves? You don't think he has better things to do? I mean, if there is a God and he's really, really busy and he's like building universes and stuff, you really think he's interested in like that stalker woman peeping in while you're playing with yourself, right?
I always use this analogy. There's two verses in the Bible that says, you may not have sex with animals.
That's good.
How big of a problem was it back then?
A lot.
That they had it to put it twice in the Bible. Not once. Just for in case you missed it the first time. But nowhere in the Bible is pleasuring yourself.
Okay.
And surely, back then and today, there's more people pleasuring themselves than having intercourse with animals.
You would hope.
You would hope, yes.
But hang on now, Timothy. Why do you think you get more hate mail about onanism, about masturbation, than you do about cheating or about all the other subjects, which
fantasies,
I'm sure you discuss on there? Yeah.
So,
I wonder what that
is. It's not logical.
No.
Okay. It's fear-based.
Yeah.
And that's what I realized, because in the beginning I was fighting this again and I was ending up fighting the church a lot, which was sad because I love the church. I grew up in the church, and one day if they invite me, I'll go back, which they don't do anymore.
You're persona non grata there now?
Yes.
Wow.
Sorry about that.
So it's fear-based, and the fear grows bigger in the taboo. Now, in our dictionary, it says taboo is something that you may not talk about, that you may not touch, that you may not prod. In the Afrikaans dictionary, die hat, sê die taboo, sy beskrywende sin, seks praatjies is taboo. That's how taboo it is in Afrikaans language.
You shouldn't
language.
Even talk about it.
No.
Wow.
I mean, that's so harmful. Like you say, you talk about gesonde sex.
Yes.
And that is not about physical health. It's about being unhealthy in your mind about sex.
My professor always said, sex is not between the legs, it's between the ears. It's how we think about it.
Exactly.
How we interact with it. The behavior is only the symptom of what sexual being is living up here.
So what kind of questions do people ask on your page, and why do you think it's become so popular?
Well, I'm very grateful that after 14 years, it is such a big Afrikaans platform. And I think one of the key successes to it is it's not Timothy Kieswetter's page. I tried not to police it too overactively. The whole goal of it was to create a platform for the taboo to be stripped, a platform for the average person, Jan, Piet, Quis, Susan, to talk about things that they were never allowed to talk about in a safe space. So we post questions, anoniem vra, and then we allow the community to answer that. And when I see it goes into a bully direction, either in the spiritual bullies come out, or the...
What are that people like? You're going straight to hell.
The Bible bashers,
okay, right. Okay.
Or the, I don't know what I'm going to call the other group, the vegan bullies, the frustrated
bullies.
There are
some of those, yeah, sure.
Whatever. You get bullies in any category. And then I jump in and try to moderate it. But otherwise, the success of it is it's a community being allowed to talk about a topic that they were never allowed to do. Someone asked me on a radio show, when do I think that sexual crimes and molestation and abuse will come down in South Africa? And the answer is quite simple. The moment when we are able to talk about sex at the Sunday family luncheon as a normal topic, then and only then, the crime and the abuse will come down.
So what are people's major issues? What are they dealing with day to day on this page? Because, you know, there could be very serious things like abuse.
Yes.
There could be like very silly things like, you know, people about their fantasies or what turns them on or whatever else.
So we try to keep it light, but not go into it's I'm still a therapist. My goal is still to help and the mental health. So it's not a comedy page. But if you're gonna read abuse after abuse after abuse,
it's very depressing.
You're gonna be so depressed. No. That's why I became a stand-up comedian. I couldn't handle all the dark side of sexuality, because sex is the thing that humans use the most to hurt other
as
people.
As a weapon, yeah.
Yeah, because sex is the thing that is the most vulnerable, that can cut the deepest. Mm. And that's why it creates so much damage. But we have to, the education, our sexual IQ must be hired in order for us to become a healthy society.
Slippery Pickle says here in the comments, I think it's so popular because people feel they're unable to read the Bible and form their own understanding, so they think they need a guru to help unravel it for them. I mean, that's a big part of it, right? It's like, no, you don't understand. Let a priest come and explain it to you. I mean, the whole reason that I think Luther and the printing of the Bible and the Vulgate was such a big deal is because it allowed people to finally understand the word of God in their own language.
Exactly. It gave power to the people. Yeah.
Of course, it also led to like a million and one different kinds of Protestant church. But a lot of people do feel that there's still this extra step between them and the word of God, and they need someone to help them understand that. That's probably also true for sex, though.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people grow up thinking, well, this is a very complicated thing. No one's ever told me about it. I have to go and figure it out for myself and probably get it wrong, or I'll have to seek out some kind of expert.
Or ask my friend or my brother.
Well, yeah. I mean, most people have terrible inputs for information on that front, right?
Yeah, so research shows us that curiosity is the number one reason why middle grade schools now, that's what, grade 7, yeah, by us, start experimenting with sex. So the number one reason why a person will give up their virginity is because they're curious. Mm. So then they did another study under university students that were still virgins. Granted, it was a much smaller study. Yeah. Couldn't find so many. And they asked, why are they still virgins? Maybe they just butt ugly. what's the correlation here? And they found one correlation that they had open and honest conversations with their parents about sex. Mm. So it took away the curiosity. So I always tell parents that if you want your child to stay the longest virgin as possible,
right,
talk about sex now.
Right. So here's a question from somebody, which I think is a good question. Parents are often wrestling with this. When do you think is the appropriate age to start talking to your kids about sex, and how do you introduce that topic?
When you start bathing them naked.
Really?
Sure.
Yes.
Straight away.
See, sex is the only topic that we teach our children in a 3 to 5 minutes sit-down talk. And that's maybe so the problem why sex only lasts for the majority of people 3 to 5 minutes. We do not teach our kids math or social science or how to drive a car in 3 to 5 minutes. So why will we take sex, the most important thing that will define the rest of their adult life, and in a sit-down talk? It's ridiculous.
Sure.
And studies showed in any case that we don't remember what our parents teach us about sex. The only thing we remember is the attitude and how they make us feel about sex. Listen, your kid has got Google on their phone. What you teach them about sex is irrelevant. The information is out there and they will find it. But Google cannot put shame on them and cannot give them a moral compass. Mm. That is still the job of the parent. But now, a parent that's also struggling with sex as a taboo, that also does it with the lights dimmed, that also does it in just the missionary position, because they're Christians, they feel that
that's the only appropriate one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doggy style doesn't sound very Christian. Religion.
No, no, no. No. Don't imagine that's something that the pastor is going to be
saying. Especially if you bark during that. that doesn't sound right.
Well, I mean, here's a Rebellious Ruth says, this gent makes so much sense. I'm really impressed. Do you think Afrikaans people are starting to become less conservative about these things? They're starting to open up about it.
Yes.
They're starting to talk honestly. There isn't so much shame and guilt attached to things. Yes.
And not just on sex, on anything. If you look at how the Afrikaans interact with God, with church, with Christianity, everything is changing because we came out of an era where you mentioned it, that the authority figure was the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up in a society of top-down.
Yeah, hierarchical.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the information era has changed that drastically.
Mm.
So now the younger generation is sitting in church, the pastor is preaching something, that doesn't sound right. Let me just fact check you on this. Mm. No.
Yeah.
That's not
Start
true.
Fighting.
Mm. Right. Where you used to go to your elders for information, they were your Google.
Yeah.
Now you're sitting there knowing more than they do.
Exactly. So, and that's also a scary thing because now you're bombarded with all this information and a lot of it is also fake news.
Yeah.
And now we have to teach our kids how to Google competently and think critically. If we can teach those two skill sets to our kids, to the next generation, they will be fine.
Mm.
Yeah, I reckon there's something to be said for people who are empowered, right? I think that some of the best people that I've engaged with on this topic are people who are like, they really know what they're talking about. So first of all, they're well informed. Mm. Second of all, they are steadfast in their beliefs. They actually are quite kind of self-assured. There's not a confidence issue there. Mm. And they believe that they are doing the right thing as opposed to just doing the thing that everyone else does. And you see these people are kind of, they're strong characters. They've got real conviction.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm not going to have sex before I'm married because, and you like interrogate them about it and they tell you why. You're like, well, okay, I can kind of appreciate that.
Yeah, not because
I have respect for that. It's not
the
because
Bible
you,
told me
it's
not.
It's not because
to.
Someone's beaten you over the head with a Bible when you were seven and now you're terrified of doing it. It's because you really believe this and you've done the research and you've figured out what's going on in the world and you've made decisions for yourself. I think that's respectable. Mm.
Absolutely. You have to live according to how you see yourself. If you're going to live in a manner that is in conflict how you see yourself in the mirror, you're going to have anxiety. You're going to have a civil war in yourself. Well, but the problem is, if what I see myself in the mirror is not the true Timothy, but a mask that is placed upon me by the church or by my parents or by society,
right,
then it becomes tricky. So you have to...
Well, what about situations? And I do feel like the church is losing in some ways because we know that, you know, organized religion is on the down in most Western countries. We don't see it's spreading or growing. We see a lot of kids turning away from it. And that may be really bad in the long run for all we know.
Yes.
Probably is, because basically the underpinnings of civilization are Judeo-Christian in their origins. But I look at this and I think... the church is losing in a lot of places. Society wins. You see a lot of very weird stuff being promulgated as the truth or someone's truth or whatever. How do you feel that this community, especially because you've got your finger on the pulse here, how do you feel this community online responds to things that society deems okay, but the church does not? Like, you know, transgender stuff or...
Homosexuality.
Or, you know, these are things that society has said, this is cool.
Yeah.
But the church still says, nah, we're not so sure this
is
cool.
So what I see where people's opinions start going from black and white to a more gray scale is when it touches them.
All right. So if someone in their family has
someone. When it's just theoretical, homosexuality is wrong and this is wrong and that's a sin. Every day I get on questions, is this a sin? Is this right or wrong? And I refuse to answer it because I'm not your God. I'm not your priest. I'm much more interested in, is this healthy or unhealthy for you? That's why my Facebook page is called Gesonde Sex.
Right.
Is it gesond or is it ongesond? Because as a sexologist, I can help you answer that. And what might be healthy for you will not be healthy for you. So... you still need the rules, but the rules are more individual.
Like prescriptive.
Exactly. Yeah. Then otherwise we're going to put vaccines onto everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And they don't have a say.
And that's the same with rules for everyone.
So just as a completely unrelated thing, you've got how many kids?
Five.
Wow.
I take my job very seriously.
Yes, of course. So you know all about sex and you also, you're raising these kids and you've decided to homeschool them, which I find fascinating because we've got this Bella bill at the moment, which we've spoken about on the show before, just shows you how kind of the state is taking more and more of a role, an active role in teaching children morals and or the lack thereof.
Yeah.
Right. And more and more people are relying on the government to do what parents are meant to do.
Yeah.
And you've decided to opt out of that system. Is it hard to homeschool kids?
Well, I think the initial decision to do anything new is hard.
Yeah.
Because you look around and you don't see other people doing it and then you start questioning yourself.
Yeah.
Well, am I crazy?
And maybe I'm doing my kids a disservice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But luckily, my wife is a qualified
Teacher.
Okay. And she studied psychology. So she always wanted to go into education. And when our oldest started struggling in mainstream school, she became a prime candidate for homeschooling.
Okay.
Where we allow the kids to grow on their own path.
Okay.
Instead of you have to perform at the same level as your peers that is the same age as you.
Mm-hmm.
But, and let's face it, Timothy, a lot of people just drop their kids off at school because it gives them time where they don't have to worry about them.
No, sure. Outsourcing is part of our modern life.
Most parents aren't that interested. A lot of them just want to drop their kids off somewhere and get on with their lives for that day.
Yeah. So
I would.
Yeah, no.
So we started homeschooling because our oldest kid has got dyslexia and stuff. And now she's 16 and she hasn't just caught up with her peers. She's doing now first year university psychology diplomas. Wow.
And five girls. Hey, aren't you worried about the kind of guys that they're going to meet in this world?
No, I just can't wait for the Lebola.
But are they all girls?
Yeah, I've got five daughters.
Did you keep trying until you...
Yeah, we tried for after three daughters, we thought, okay, let's try one more time for a boy. And we did it in the boy making position.
Which is the boy making position?
The hanging from the ceiling. But unfortunately, the hospital had a special on buy one, get one free. And we left with twins.
Oh, wow. Okay, you had twin
daughters.
Wow. That's amazing. Not vegans, though.
No.
All right. No, that's very good because Leanne brought some bullshit vegan thing up just now. I still don't believe. Okay, but you know, seriously, for a second, seeing all these people with all their sexual problems and questions and all the rest of it, you've got five daughters. Do you think the quality of men out there is particularly good? I mean, have you already had boyfriends come home with these daughters of yours and you've thought, they could probably do better than that?
No, because soort soek soort.
Okay. So, they're going to find quality because
exactly.
They're quality.
Of course there's quality boys out there.
Right.
But I don't have to go and find them. I have to instill a certain amount of self-confidence in my daughters that they will attract it. They did an interesting study on matchmaking where you had to hold a number on top of your head that only the other people can see. You don't know your number. And basically, to cut to the conclusion, within a range of 1 to 2, they matched each other in going on to a date.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So the most attractive, high-value people ended up attracting other high-value people.
Okay.
And the lower numbers. So you don't have to worry about what is the catch outside.
Right.
Invest in your child, their own sense of self. And then they will not settle for something less.
Okay, well, this is very important. And I think Gesonde Sex is probably a website that everybody should go and check out. Well, your page on Facebook anyway. Are you expanding onto other social networks? Are you on TikTok?
Yeah, TikTok and Insta. But Facebook is really our biggest platform.
Well, that's where you can have conversations, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's more built for that than Instagram. Or
it's more two-way.
Yeah. And that's the success of Gesonde Sex Anoniem Vrou. It's a community talking. And what's interesting, you can immediately see by the comments of the people on the page who is new to the page and who's been there for a while. The people that's new to the page is either the Bible bashers or the extreme woke community. That's still in the black and white.
Do the older community take them in hand and school them?
Exactly. I don't have to do it anymore.
Okay,
they come in, and that's raising the SQ, the sexual intelligence.
So those ones who've been there a long time is like the Oderlinge, right?
Well,
I mean, you could call them that.
If you really want to.
The elders of the church.
I want to go with disciples.
Okay, all right. Okay, let's go with that. Leanne, you're going to go and check them out. You'll probably find some of the people from the old swingers community.
Yeah, there. Exactly. Yeah. But you say it's anonymous, right?
The questions that's asked. So they
How do you submit a question anonymously on Facebook? I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, sure. You can just give it to me after the show. But normally, they'll just send us a Facebook message directly to our page, right. And then we'll schedule it as anonymous. And then we'll inform you this time, this date, your question is going up.
And you get the feedback from people who aren't anonymous.
Yes.
They're happy to be whoever they are.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, let me tell you how you do it.
And this sometimes they're drunk because...
they're drunk. You get a lot of drunks joining.
I think so, because the comment that they post is next to their picture, and a sober person wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't say that. Okay, very good. All right, I like this. This is very good. Well done, Timothy. You're making the world a better place.
Thank you very much.
All right, and thank you for joining us this morning. If you have been a part of the chat, there's been a lot of activity in the comments section today. Plenty. Most of it hilarious. But thank you to Timothy, our guest. Thank you to Dr. Hanan earlier on. It's been a busy show this morning. And we will catch you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Wednesday, 6 a.m. I mustn't confuse things. Getting very confusing. Wednesday, 6 a.m. Cheers, everybody. Bye.